I'm like, right now, I'm like, well, I'm not drinking. I have a Diet Coke, I have a candy seltzer, and I have two water bottles. So, blessings.
I have a water.
That's good.
So interesting.
I quit Diet Coke a while ago, but, like, I had a really bad hangover this weekend, so I do acquire some, and now I'm just enjoying it.
Yeah. Do you find that you like how it tastes still, even though you don't drink it all the time?
I like it less.
Yeah. That's how I felt about it, too.
It's, like, the only thing that cures, like, a hangover or a migraine for me. I swear. That aspartame, man.
I actually, and I hate that this is true, but, like, I have to smoke a cigarette a lot of times. Like, if I am hungover, like, most of the time I don't want to. But if if it's, like, 8 p.m. and I, like, have a headache that won't quit, but I mostly feel okay, if I, like, go smoke, like, the first cigarette of that day, like, it will go away.
Damn.
Which really blows.
That's addiction.
It is. Kids, don't smoke.
What you just described is addiction.
It is. Kids, don't vape either.
Fucking, what was that meme I sent you that was like, that was like, my life's like a mess, or I'm a complete mess, but at least I don't have a nicotine addiction from a flash drive. Right. Get out of here with your fucking jewels.
I think they're really dumb.
I think they're kind of douchey. Mm-hmm. I like respect the vibes of like, I know people who have used jewels to help them quit.
Yeah, but not if you're not a smoker. Like, exactly. I only respect them as a transitional object for a nicotine addiction. You feel me?
Right.
Yeah.
If you, like, picked up smoking a Juul because you wanted to
smoke a Juul.
It's
like starting with a patch. Yeah.
Yeah, like, get out of here, though. Like, come on, kids. I don't know.
Just been wearing these nicotine patches.
There's some really bad movie with Ben Affleck in it. And there's, like, the girl who stars opposite of him is, like, addicted to the nicotine gum. And he goes, oh, did you used to smoke? And she goes, no, but, like, I had a friend who was quitting, so I started chewing the gum, and now I'm just addicted to the gum. And so she, like, the whole movie is, like, chewing Nicorette. It's hilarious.
That's so expensive.
Oh, yeah, it's not cheap.
It's, like, it's more expensive.
Pack of gum, honey.
Yeah, it's more expensive than cigarettes.
She's like, can't quit the gum. Yeah, it's fucking hilarious. I love it. Also, welcome to Why Are You Like This.
They like live as a horse sometimes. I'll show you that
you
later.
You showed me the pictures of the people.
You should get torches free when you buy like a long black or white robe.
There's an episode of Law and Order SVU about this, I'm just saying.
Can we not make this about chastity right now?
You're like, listen, this isn't that serious.
It's fine if you want to kill the torso. Kill the torso, it'd be super easy.
I'm, like, always close enough to something that could cleanse the air. And the woman was talking about the Hershey's Kiss in an incredibly sexual manner.
And I believe in a lot of bullshit that other people think is trash, so maybe.
Facts.
Welcome. That's Austin Williams in Chicago.
Oh, that's Jamie Ryan in Cincinnati.
Sorry,
this
jumped it.
This is the... No, yeah, get it. This is the Mostly Weekly podcast where we describe addictions and other human behaviors, we dissect in some part research, some part pure conjecture in order to determine why people are the way that they are.
Welcome. I almost introduced you a second time.
I know, because we usually do it after.
I know.
It's fine. We've gotten progressively worse.
It's because we were looser about it.
Yeah, because we're like, we're relaxed. We're fine. This is fine. And then we're like, oh, shit. How do we introduce the
tripping
show?
Tripping down a hill over top of each other. It's fine.
Just like attached, like a three-legged race, but like we're just falling.
Like a cat dog?
Sure. Am I shitting out of your mouth or are you shitting out of mine? Who's the ass and who's the face?
I always wonder.
Just, like, where does it go?
Who do you think?
Where does it go?
I think Kat is the face.
Yeah. Although, cats, like, are pretty good at, like, hacking stuff up that doesn't agree with them. Like, cats are better vomiters than dogs.
That's true. Dogs are, like, less clean or something, though.
Dogs are definitely
like
less
on their
not
own
even a debate.
Like you can keep a dog clean, but like by if it's left to its own devices.
Yeah, dogs are filthy and cats are great. It's true. Like cats like
so for that reason, like, I feel like dog is the ass.
this is, I feel like I'm going to make a really disgusting argument, but I just want to go for it.
Go.
I feel like cats are more feminine and dogs are more masculine.
Yeah.
For the reason I'm about to explain and nothing else.
Okay.
Cats, like, can keep themselves clean, just like women's genitalia. Like, the vagina is a self-cleaning oven. Like, it just sheds and moves on, whatever. Cats are just, like, always keeping up with it.
But it,
like,
does burn it down every time.
It doesn't... Listen, it burns it down once every, like, moon cycle, whatever. And fucking men over here, their stuff is staring at them in the face, and it's filthy.
Mm-hmm.
Just like a dog.
You're right. Staring them in the face.
Mm-hmm. Can you imagine if men... I'm not trying to be a man-hater right now. I'm just saying...
No, I love men, honestly. Not all of them, but I don't love all women either. Yeah.
Yeah. But, like, I want to paint with a broad brush and say that I think women are generally more hygienic than men. Not all women.
I think we're also socialized to be more hygienic than men.
Yeah, and maybe there's some bad baggage that comes along with that. Mm-hmm. But... imagine if men, like, had any kind of, like, interior organs. Like, if men's genitalia was inward, the level of filth that would be involved in that.
Yeah.
Would be extreme.
Uh-uh.
I'm just saying, like, the men in my life have progressively always had, like, substantially grosser belly buttons than the women in my life. Imagine if men had
vaginas. 100%. 100%.
Like, how does your navel get like that?
Right.
That's disgusting.
How, though? Yeah.
But actually.
How?
All right. I'm really
unless you're, they're, because they're not putting a ton of lotion on. The only time I've ever had, like, weird belly button situation was, like, in the winter when you put coconut oil on your body after a shower, and then you put sweats on, all that fleece shit sticks to your
that
body.
Lint, man. That lint is just all up in ya.
So then when I took my sweatshirt off, I was, like, near a mirror, and it looked like I had, like, it was a gray sweatshirt, so it looked like I had, like, dark hairs all over my whole body all of a sudden. And it was incredibly alarming.
Did you panic for just
yes!
Yeah. Oh my god, did I just sprout tiny
just
gray hairs all over my body?
All this hair.
I would probably.
Yeah.
I would probably worry, too. It seems fine.
Whew.
Oh my gosh.
Okay,
well,
sorry.
Let me tell you, as much as I love talking about, like, cats and dogs and...
We talk about cats and dogs so much lately.
And listen, we don't know about dog stuff, but here we are, feigning knowledge.
Always.
But cats, dogs, navels, belly button lint, the men's general lack of hygiene, just all of it, truly.
Mm-hmm.
What I really want to talk about tonight, in a... I hope fan favorite, return to where we get into some typing systems a little bit, right?
Hell yeah.
We're talking about numerology.
Yes.
Numerology.
Okay. This is one that I feel like I probably would, like, heavily subscribe to, but I'm just, like, not that familiar with.
Oh, interesting. Cool. I'm going to let that lie and
yeah, cause
get
I, like,
my own feelings.
Believe in numbers shit.
You do believe in numbers shit. And
yeah.
Like, let's fucking talk about that. Okay, so numerology, just like face value, before we, like, kind of get into, like, the systematic-y things in the history,
mm-hmm.
I just actually want to talk about how that's, like, a pretty broad thing.
Numerology
before
is?
Before we talk about... Yeah, like, saying numerology... That's basically any belief in the divine or mystical relationship between a number and one or more coinciding events.
Okay.
It's also the study of the numerical value of the letters in words, names, and ideas. And it's often associated with paranormal, anything, like, alongside of astrology and mm-hmm. any kind of, like, divination-y art, if you will.
Cool.
And interesting fact, despite, like, basically a long history forever of numerological...
That's a toughie.
Wow. Damn. Ideas. The word numerology, like, the science-y version of that,
mm-hmm.
is not recorded in English anywhere before, like, 1907, which seems super late.
Oh, it's late as fuck, yeah.
Yeah, late as fuck. So... just, like, a little bit more before we deep dive into this.
Yeah.
Because we will talk about the system that, like, sits kind of adjacent to, like, the astrology stuff. But I want to talk about this broad sense of numerology first.
For sure. Because these are all, like, hooked together in, like, strange ways. So, like, it can be tough.
Yeah, totally. And yeah. This is where, when we're just talking about number shit, and you're like, this is something I totally buy into, I'd be like, yes, you, Jamie Ryan, are 100% fucking here for, like, be like, everything's just a fucking Fibonacci number. If I had a dollar for every time you've said that in our friendship, just everything's Fibonacci, I would be rich. Like, truly.
I still, yeah. Go so on.
So we could say you're a numerologist, if you will, which is used for those who place faith in numerical patterns and draw pseudoscientific inferences from them, even if they don't practice traditional numerology. So you.
Wait, what am I called? Just a numerologist?
I'm a numerologist. I'm just going to call you a numerologist.
Fuck yeah. Can I add that to business cards that I don't have?
Yeah, you can add this to business cards, and potentially you can put this on your list of things that you believe in that other people think are trash.
Oh, that's exciting. I like when I get a name for stuff that I've believed for a long time.
It actually, like, there is something about that when you're like, oh, fuck, I've always thought this.
Right.
There's a word for this. There are other people on this fucking ish. Yeah.
Yeah, well, then you're like, oh, it's not that weird. Cool.
Right. It's that whole nice, like, you're not alone. Yeah. Everybody wants to feel not alone. Just listen, we all want to be included. Okay. So, as you can imagine, I'm also doing this for your sake, my religious guru.
Thank you.
Numerology has not found favor with any Christian authorities.
Despite how much, like, numerological, like, mumbo jumbo is all through the Bible.
Yes, ma'am. That's and how right. much. You know where I'm going.
Yes, I'll go on.
Yeah. You're like, well, but let like me make
ready to go.
Yeah. No, you're ready to fight. It's like Christians are like not into any kind of field that's like beliefs woo-woo, along yeah. with like astrology, divination, or quote unquote magic. You know, Christians are weird about that stuff.
Those are dark arts, yeah.
Those be them dark arts. But like you got into, despite like the fact that there are all sorts of sacred numbers,
mm-hmm.
including but not limited to 3 and 7, if we're talking about like
mm-hmm.
Christian, like in like Judeo-Christian like tradition, because in the Bible there's like the creation of the earth in 7 days and that whole thing. Also like
the Trinity,
like, the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit,
12
the
fact disciples. That
like Jesus asked God 3 times if he could like not be killed, and then
Peter, the three would, like, rooster crows.
And 3 rooster crows. The crucifixion happened at 3 in the afternoon.
There were 3 crucified people.
Right. There's 7's the length of famine and other God-imposed events like floods and all that good stuff.
40 years happens all the time. Followed by
the number 8 is a symbol of change. So.
Really? Biblically?
Yeah. Yeah, biblically.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
That's basically all this is to say is, listen, humans wrote the Bible, and yeah. people have been into the significance of numbers in storytelling and in, like, explaining the world for fucking forever. And so, like, of course it's in there. Like, mm-hmm. of course things have numeric base because you're, like, gonna explain patterns and themes. It's the same as, you know, any kind of, like, choice of syntax in a piece of writing to convey something or using literary devices like irony to make mm-hmm. a point.
Totally.
Like, you're just making points with numbers.
Tool. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, 100%. People who are skeptical of numerology argue that numbers have, like, no occult significance and cannot themselves influence a person's life. Therefore, people regard numerology as superstition and a pseudoscience that use numbers to give the subject a veneer of scientific authority.
But numbers are literally everything. Like, anything can be boiled down to a number. So, sorry, I just disagree with those people. Go on.
No, you can. And they're saying, but you're saying, like, numbers are everywhere. Numbers are science. And so, like, that's just your ruse for, like, making up bullshit.
That's what they're saying. Oh, I know. I know we're at an impasse. It's fine.
I mean, astrology and planets, but, and, like, planets are science-y, right? I mean, the Earth and other shit, right?
Huh? Yeah, yeah. And there's parts of astrology that are science. Like, the astrological part, like, that's, like, measuring the distance is, like, true, for sure. I don't know about personality stuff, definitely. I like to think that it's true. But, like, go on.
You know. Okay, so, with all of that said, numerology, when we talk about it, is like the typing system that sits adjacent to astrology. We're narrowing in, but in kind of the descriptors that I've given you, I said it's the belief in like a divine or mystical relationship between a number and one or more coinciding events.
Okay.
So take with that what you will. So things that like are numerology are people assigning significance to 1111.
Okay, definitely.
The 27 Club.
Yes.
If you're not familiar with like the deaths of like several celebrities who like all died at the age of 27.
With white people, lighters like, in their pockets.
Right. Yeah. There, I mean, there's a lot there.
There's a lot, William.
But people, they're like, listen, more than one coinciding event, all these people dying at age 27, 27 Club, like subscribing to that being a thing is numerology.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So,
and like believing also, like, that like the 9/11 stuff, like that, like saying it has like power and significance, like that's why it was that day. Is that numerology?
Well, 9/11, I mean, my understanding is that the terrorists who planned 9/11 intentionally did it because 9/11 has like an emergency significance in our culture.
Yes, there is for sure that.
So I don't think, I wouldn't call that numerology. I would call that like someone doing something on purpose.
Yes. And I like, I'm not going to say anything else because I'm going to talk about crazy stuff if I go on. So take it away.
Listen, I mean, 911truth.com, it's out there. But obviously biblical numerology, like we said, there's all sorts of numbers wrapped up in like Egyptian mythology. There are all sorts of just like, you could go conspiracy theories on like other numbers, but like numbers are fucking everywhere in every religion, be it like the Quran, be it looking at stuff in Judaism, like numbers are everywhere and there's a lot of stuff wrapped up in this, but we're all kind of doing it a little bit. Even if you just talk about like how people like seven is considered lucky, like in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Where people thinking 13 is unlucky.
Oh, yeah.
All numerology.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to make that point before I dabbled into what we kind of know as like the astrological adjacent, if
okay.
you will,
yeah.
numerology.
Okay.
So what do you know, if anything, about that kind of numerology, the system that we're going to kind of talk about that sits with astrology a little bit?
I briefly looked into it like a year ago, like mostly just like out of curiosity. And so I did like find like multiple of like my personal numbers and I read through them and I know that there's like a life path number and like a soul urge number and like all like you get all these different numbers that like are different pieces of who you are. And it kind of reminded me of like when we do an astrology chart, like how you see like your different, like your sun, your moon, your rising sign, like how your houses align and like different pieces of yourself to like create a picture of a whole. And that's kind of like what the, at least the website I was using reminded me of. But the only number of mine that I know is my life path number.
Cool. So I'm on board with you for what you've said. I think it's interesting. Because what I will say in, like, digging on numerology, the information at least that you can find on the internet, which, you know, is a jumping off point for just about everything these days.
It's at our fingertips, yeah.
Just truly at our fingertips. I feel like the information feels less concrete or flushed out compared to other systems. So, like, compared to astrology or even like, you know, Myers-Briggs, like if you pull up that kind of stuff, you're gonna see like generally like pretty fucking similar things across the board. And I felt like when I was bopping between like different numerology things, I got a lot of just like, I don't know, it didn't all feel like easy and like neat and like in line with each other.
Okay. So almost like there's less of like universal agreement. Like astrology sites across the board are pretty, like the information they pretty much agree on with each other.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I wonder if it's, I wonder if it's a more, is it a more difficult system to understand?
Well, I don't know. And I'm not like, I am inclined to say no, but like, so here's something. If you are pulling up astrology people are going to be like, okay, like, you have a sun, you have a moon, you have a rising, you have another sign in Mars and in Venus, and, like, you know, it's just the planets.
Mm-hmm.
But when I first was looking, because I knew there's, like, more than one big number that was significant, like you just kind of mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
And so the four main numbers in numerology, like you alluded to, the first one, the life path number, which mm-hmm. you mentioned, and then it said your soul number, your karmic number, and your destiny number.
Karmic.
And it was saying those were the four. And that didn't feel like other things I had read before. So mm-hmm. then when I did further digging, then I found, like, other things that were like, these are the main numbers.
Mm.
So it just, it didn't all feel like totally in a line.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna say consensus, the main numbers are, there are five, like, building blocks or core numbers in astrology.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, in numerology, your life path number, your expression number, your personality number, your heart's desire, or, like, your, like, kind of, like, purpose or, like, path number.
Yeah.
Your, like, soul number, however you want to call that. Because it's called, people, I've seen it called different things. Like, your soul, your heart's desire, whatever.
Is that sometimes then, called soul urge?
Yes.
Okay.
I've seen that, too.
I thought that was just really funny. Go on.
Yeah. I'm just like, my soul urge.
It's so dramatic.
Real dramatic. And then the last one is your birthday number.
And that's different from your life number?
It's different from your life path number.
Okay.
And I'll explain how.
Okay.
So life path number is, like, the single most important number. So if you liken numerology to astrology, this is, like, your sun sign, I would say.
Yeah. Your main deal.
And basically they describe it as being, like, the blueprint outlining how your life will play out. So opportunities and challenges that are, like, faced along the way of, you know, your existence are heavily influenced by your life path number, as well as, like, your general character and course of action. And this is based off your full birth date, which I know is why you mentioned, you're like, it's different from your birthday.
Yeah.
So it is. So your life path would be your full birth date. So I'll do mine as an example.
Uh-huh.
I'm May 27th, 1990, 90s babies, dreams. Like, find my life path number from that, what I'm going to do is I'm going to add the digits for my month, day, and year. And so, for somebody, so May 27th, starting off this, like, math equation, I would add 5, not to 27, but to 2 and 7.
Mm-hmm.
So, you break it down each individually. So, I would add 5, 2, 7, and then for my year, I would add 1, 9, 9, and 0.
Okay, so it's like if you separated every digit with a plus sign in between them.
Yes.
Okay.
Good way to think of it visually. It's super helpful. And so when I add all of those together, for me, the sum of that is 33.
Mm-hmm.
And then what I do with
it's
that
a Jesus number. I'm sorry.
The Jesus. Jesus.
It is.
But it's not my final answer. My life path number is not 33. Then what I do is you want to get everything down to a single digit. So you would add the 3 plus 3 from 33. You get 6. My life path number is 6. I'm a 6. I know your life path number for working it through the same way is an 8.
Mm-hmm.
Yes?
Yes, I am an 8.
Yeah. And since you mentioned it, how is this different from your birthday number?
Yeah.
Your birthday number, removes your year from the equation. So for somebody like me born on May 27th, I'm just going to add 5 plus 2 plus 7.
Okay. So you're 3?
So 5 plus 2 plus 7 is, what is that? Fuck. 14?
5 plus 2 is, so it's 5, sorry.
Yes, okay, great, math.
3.
Yeah, so there is some basic addition, guys.
There is.
Like, letting you know.
Get ready.
And the deal with your birthday number, what that's supposed to be all about, is it's supposed to reveal, like, a certain talent you'll eventually find.
Ooh.
Like, on your life path, and it's the most insignificant of, like, all the core numbers. It would be, like, the last one you'd talk about.
Okay.
But it puts, like, a timestamp on, like, the person you are according
like
to one single aspect of, like, when you were born, like, what day it is. So like, just as you're destined to be on like a, like born on a specific day, if you subscribe to this, you've been given like certain gifts as a result. So,
oh, real brief aside, until 2 days ago, I always thought that I was born on a Saturday and narrowly escaped being born on Friday the 13th. But I looked back at a calendar of 1990 and February 14th was on a Wednesday. So there goes that.
Oh, I kind of wish you
had. I don't know why I like feel that. Slighted by that.
I kind of love that you're like casually pissed about it.
Well, because my mom was in labor for so long that it's like I would have been born like, on the 13th. Yeah.
Like, was your mom in labor for like 20 some hours?
It was almost 30.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's fucking ridiculous.
Blessings.
Blessings. Okay, so go on.
Okay. So that's the least important. We already told you about the most important, your life path. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to break down the life path numbers a little bit, but I just want to tell you what the other ones are.
Yeah.
Like the other
categories. Other kinds. So, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The other kinds, the other core numbers or building blocks, if you will, in numerology. So after your life path, the next one you would be checking out would be your expression number. I think you can really liken this to your rising sign in astrology.
I was just going to ask if that's a rising sign.
I think it's pretty similar, but we're also, you have to remember, like, we have an expression number, and so, like, we also have a personality number, which also feels kind of rising sign adjacent.
Well, things are organized differently in this system, so, like, the dividing lines are not in the same place a little bit. So, like, of course, there's like Venn diagram shit for both of them. Like, they totally. Can both be kind of rising-y.
Totally. And, like, that said, numerology and astrology are super wrapped in with each other. And people also who are like into tarot, also numerology comes into play because tarot cards are numbered. And mm-hmm. so, you know, we weigh significance on numbers that appear when you're doing spreads. Numerology, like, really threads through all of these other kinds of things.
Yeah.
But I just want to call it out. I am making like a lot of astrological kind of callbacks. And I want to say like, it's fair to note that, you shouldn't say it's like tit for tat, that like, this is like,
they're independent. Astrology. Yeah. They're independent
systems.
They're
totally independent.
But I think it's like, helpful to use astrology as a reference to understand, because numerology, since it is just numbers, is like more abstract than the other systems of typing.
It feels more abstract, and then also just, I think, generally more of us are familiar with astrology.
Yeah, and astrology can't, like,
it's in the back of Cosmo, and numerology is totally not traditional.
Well, teenagers aren't reading numerology charts, yeah.
Not yet.
Yeah, not yet.
Some of them, though.
The sure teens, you know what? The teleteen witches now, they're doing it.
Ugh, coven.
Yep. They're making a million bucks on YouTube. Go on.
Back to our regularly scheduled programming of expression numbers. So your life path number plots your life's lessons and how you handle them. Mm-hmm. Your expression number is supposed to be about your natural strengths and weaknesses given at the time of your birth. Mm. Sometimes people call your expression number your destiny number, as it aims like basically for your goal in life. And they say, like, this is the number, like, this number is, like, the foundation through which your life path can flourish. Mm. Blessings. Mm. Now, here's where we get interesting. So your life path's all based on your birthday. Your expression number is actually based off numbers that correspond to the letters in your full name.
Oh.
And it reveals the talents and abilities instilled in you at birth.
You're welcome. Do you think moms ever, like, work that shit out and they're like, we need another letter?
You know what? I'm never going to say, like, yeah, absolutely. I'm sure someone's done that.
Like, if my mom had been into it, she could have been like, the E has to go so that she can be an 8 and make a lot of money, which hasn't happened, but could happen.
Well, but that would be your life path is an 8. Is your expression number? Do you know your expression number?
Oh, okay. I don't know what my expression number is.
So I'm going to tell you how you have to find this, because it is like a little bit more complicated since we're marrying letters and numbers now. Before we were just adding up our birthdays, how we were doing, right? Mm-hmm. But so when you do expression numbers, and I'm going to do this like as lightly as possibly.
Sure.
Or as lightly as possible. But if you want to look up your own, like, expression numbers or life path numbers, there are a million numerology calculators, like, on the internet, and you can also break this down pretty easily. But basically how it goes is you would write out, like, the numbers, like, 1 through 9, if you wanted to make your own key, at the top of a paper.
Mm-hmm.
And then you would go across and you would, under these columns, go, like, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And, like, then when you hit 9, you would take the next letter to 1 and do it again. And it's going to take you through almost 3 times, right?
Yeah, so you're just, like, giving every letter a single integer value.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. So with that said, for mine, like, how I would do it, like, if I were just, like, you literally work through each of your, like, your first, middle, last name. So, like, Austin, I would be, like, 131295, like, it corresponds to that. You add all those up, you get 21, you add 2 and 1 together, you get 3.
Okay, so and you're always reducing things to a one number or one integer value.
Exactly. And so you, like, then you're, like, breaking these down and then you're adding them, like, together with the rest of your name. So a little bit more complicated in terms of, like, how this works out, because you're not just adding numbers, you're going off letters, blah, blah, blah.
There's the step of translation. But yeah, cool.
Yeah. Generally makes sense here.
Okay. What about name changes? So, like, because my name now is not, like, the name that I was born with.
Ooh. I mean, I think, here you go, since it's your expression number and your destiny number, I think you could get metaphorical on this. I'm going to give you some grace that, like, the last name you had at birth is not the last name you go by now or that you legally are.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know, maybe you could figure it out for both and see if you felt like you changed your own destiny.
Interesting. I'm for sure going to do that.
Yeah, you totally should.
Yeah.
So that's our number 2 core number. Our number 3 is our personality number. Your personality number is the first impression people get of you.
Another rising-esque.
Yeah, right? It represents the parts of yourself that you're most ready and willing to reveal.
Mm.
And helps you determine just how much you reveal and to whom.
Ooh.
I like reading the really mystical description, so forgive me.
No, it's great.
Thank you. This number acts as a buffer, screening out some people in situations you don't want to deal with while welcoming the things in life that relate to your inner nature.
Mm. Mm.
So your personality number is, again, based off some name-ish, but it's derived only from the consonants in your name.
Oh. Throwing out there. I have no consonants. What happens to Y? My name has exceptions.
Think we all call Y a consonant generally.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I think so. Unless it was, like, really functioning differently in your name.
It is functioning as a vowel in my name.
Ryan, that's true. I don't...
Yeah.
I feel stressed about that. I don't have a hard answer. We're going to do some deep Googling. Leave it to you to be like, but what about why?
What about if I had a different name?
Says the girl who once told me, she goes, and if I were going to be a letter, I would be the letter Y. Because sometimes you're a vowel, sometimes you're a consonant. You got all kinds of jobs. Like,
so many jobs. You know I don't like to choose.
You have so many jobs. Please don't change.
It's exhausting.
Right, blessings. So if I did it for, like, my first name, instead of having, like, how we went through, I had, like, 6 letters, or 6 numbers corresponding. Since I just have an STN in my name, I would have a 1, 3, and a 9. And, like, from that, ultimately, I get 4. Again, you'd be doing this with your full name. So you'd be adding, like, your first, middle, and last together and, like, deriving from that. Da-da-da-da. So I can tell you that my expression number is a 7, but my personality number is a 6.
Oh.
My life path is also 6, so doodly doot.
Mm-hmm.
So your heart's desire number, this is our next big core number. It is supposed to, or your soul urge, as you refer
soul
to it.
Soul urge. I like that the best. It's so
yeah, it's nice. It's what are the reasons behind your actions? Mm. What do you really want in life and in love? This is where your heart's desires come into play. And
those deep motivations. Yeah.
Deep motivations. The reasons behind the choices you make in all aspects.
What are your drives? Not to have particles.
From your career to your relationships. Are you ready? The burning fire within.
Oh.
And as you can expect on this train, if we did something for the consonants, we got to do something for the vowels.
What happens
with the
vowels?
And that is where the heart's desire number comes
from.
We're
using all the buffalo. I like it.
Yeah, listen, use them all. Like all the things, like tusks to hooves to
tongues
to meat, tongue.
What's the vowels?
Other parts. I started trying to think of other body parts, and I was like, I don't know.
The bladder? Always the bladder. But
yeah, just it's like a small pouch that you keep your specialties in.
Or that you drink from.
Both.
Yep.
So, yeah, you do this from pulling the vowels in your name. Also, I liked this description on one of the sites I read it on. It goes, your heart's desire number comes from just the vowels in your name. Those soft sounds light on your inner workings of more subconscious desire.
No!
I was like, this feels
wild. Why? Keep going. I kept thinking it was over.
Ew. Those soft sounds. Ah! Isn't that gross? I don't like it either.
Like, I understand. You didn't have to say that. I already got it. Vowels are softer.
Kind of nasty. Truthfully. And then the last one, which we kind of circled in at the beginning, is your birthday number, which, yes, different from your life path number. And again, like I said, it's the timestamp on just like the moment you were born and like whatever special gifts you have as a result. But least important one, they say. So those are the big numbers and how you figure them out. You're dealing with your birthday and your name. Mm. Those are the tools you need.
So you can really pretty much figure out anyone else's too.
Absolutely. Super easy to figure out versus astrology because you don't have to know like the time. It's not as hard to figure out as like a birth chart or anything like that. Pretty much at your fingertips. So as soon as you ask that Tinder date his middle name or her middle name, like you're in.
Yep.
You could do it all.
You'd have to ask.
Birthday.
Well, but what I was going to say is if you had middle name and city, if you Google it, the white pages a lot of times online will give you their birthday.
Yeah. You could get their birthday without asking.
You could get their birthday without asking, yeah.
Listen, sometimes you gotta be a sneaker, and anybody who's ever online dated knows what it's like to Google someone. So,
yep.
Blessings.
Yep.
You shouldn't even say online dated. Anyone who's ever dated anyone in, like, the age of the internet, I'm sure, has Googled someone.
Yeah. What shit do you have on the internet? Yeah. I need to know.
I mean, it's the blessings of mine of, like, having a pretty common last name. Like, ain't a lot of ways to find a lot of crazy shit about me, people. Because if you Google Austin Williams, I'm just gonna get fresh with you. I am not what comes up. A lot of white men. Just a lot of old white men in Texas. Yeah.
In Texas. The flip of that is that because my name is how it is, I don't even have my last name, like, on my profile. And, like, all of my dates have found me on Instagram.
That's because
not
your
followed, but found.
So
I know.
Uniquely, though, your first name.
I know. It's just frustrating.
Do you find that to be a blessing or a curse? Like, do you like that or you don't like that?
I like it, like, for the pod, like, and I like it for, like, that I get to have my handle as just my name. Like, that's fun. And, like, my name.
Because you can always get it. Like,
yeah.
No one has your name.
Yeah, it's always available. But I don't love that when you Google me, like, everything is me.
Yeah. It's just all you.
And there's one person, like, maybe also in Texas, I feel like, named Jamie D. Ryan, who got married in, like, 2008. But, like, that's the only other thing.
I mean, just truly a blessing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I want to break down, and hopefully if you, like, are intrigued and following along with us on what these numbers, you know, how to get these numbers, and maybe you've paused and found them for yourself, or you plan to return to that. Mm-hmm. Or you somehow already have a note on your phone of what all these numbers are for you, like me, LOL. I'm gonna, like, break down what these, like, numbers are in like a couple different ways. Because this is where I kind of hearken back to it feeling different than astrology or like your Myers-Briggs. I didn't feel like there was like one universal term for any of these numbers. So it's not we call like ones like Geminis, like always.
Or like the perfectionist, like no.
Exactly. And I know in Myers-Briggs there's like a little bit of like waves in this because like my Myers-Briggs type, I'm the entertainer, but in some sects they call me the comedian. Mm-hmm. Truthfully, not sure which one strokes my ego more, but open to both. But there's not quite as much, I didn't feel like from what I read, like straight answers on like each numerology number.
Well, and some of that maybe, and this may not be true because my knowledge is limited, but I feel like the mm-hmm. times when I've bumped into numerology, it also has been like in like conspiracy theory ways where like people totally. Are talking about like certain patterns of like dates and like what those numerical values mean. And then mm-hmm. also we talk about it in regards to like a person, your birthday, like maybe your personality or your fate, maybe. But it's like we can't talk about it the same way that we talk about astrology because it's like each house in astrology has like characteristics that have to do with human beings. But numbers can also be like events and things that are not people. So it's like they have to get like their own set of qualities that are like less human than than astrological signs.
No, and actually I'm kind of glad you said that because that makes it make a little bit more sense. And maybe it's
because you would never call a date a Pisces.
True.
You wouldn't be like that event was so Pisces. You know, I mean, I guess you could, but like only if you're like deep in astrology.
Yeah, I mean, I was like, maybe some people would. Maybe some people would.
This was a really Pisces event. Actually, I would say that. Go on.
You're like, let me back that all up. Let's just walk that whole thing back. There's shit that happens that I'm like, fucking Scorpios, fuck all of you.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say numerology is different. Sorry to Scorpios listening, but like, fuck all of you. Truly.
It's hard.
It's really hard. It's just the hardest. But that said, I'm going to give you like a general breakdown on these, like just kind of across the board. And then I'm going to give you some other titles I read for them. Mm-hmm. And then I thought maybe we could talk a little bit about our life path numbers and just see if we identify.
Yeah, for sure.
Cool. So this is kind of a really like condensed list. And then I'll give you some other titles. But on the condensed list, just break it down. Mm-hmm. Number one, and the way the site that I read this on described it was they said, you know, if you gave each number just like one word.
Okay.
And so this isn't like Bible. Like this isn't like, oh, this is the one word associated with. They were like, if we tried to condense this is what we'd say.
Yeah, you're losing a lot of nuance, but that's okay.
Exactly. So number one, alone. There's a sense of being separate or existing alone. By definition, because it does exist, the essence includes self-determination and self-sufficiency. A leader might feel like this.
Okay.
Number two, together. There's partnership and companionship. There's a feeling of belonging and caring. There may be romance. Generally, there is teamwork.
Okay.
Three, creative. The essence is composed of creative expression and social interaction. Creativity can be manifested in various ways: painting, dance, writing, architecture, sculpting, decoration. Social interaction itself can be creative.
Mm.
Which actually I really liked.
I agree with that.
Like forget being threes or creativity aside. I actually just when I read that and they were talking about creativity and social interaction being wrapped up in that, I was like, yeah, actually, mm-hmm. I really subscribe to this. Cool.
Yeah.
Number four, pragmatic. Mm-hmm. The essence includes a sensible and determined approach to accomplishing anything. Goals are likely to include building a secure foundation for the future.
Mm-hmm.
Five, freedom. Expression of personal sense of freedom is this essence. The expression can have many aspects: impromptu travel, learning new things, conveying wittiness, being intentionally sensual, immersion in various cultures, following a whim. Mm. Six, which this is my life path, is nurture. The essence resonates with nurturing family first, then friends, then the community. It takes its nurturing responsibility seriously. It's a healing energy that promotes harmony and encourages an idealistic way of life. I will say, and we'll dive more in on this, but everything that I read about six is like a life path. I was like, I know it's not my personality number and stuff, but I was like, damn, this makes me sound like maybe nicer than I think I am. just like in a nice way. But I'm like family first and friends.
Hey, some like, systems paint some of us like nicer and some are, you know what I mean? Like I seem like a shittier person like in some typing systems than others.
100%. And one thing I do want to say, we've talked about likingness about things like Myers-Briggs before in that it will give you, like, this is what, you know, this type looks like, healthy or unhealthy. And we're like, yeah, like, this makes perfect sense. And Myers-Briggs and, like, I feel like other adjacent types are good at saying, and astrology, I think, is good at saying, like, this is the best of this sign and this is the worst of them. Whereas things like Enneagram, I honestly think, like, is like, this is everything about you that sucks. Like, Enneagram's, like, pretty brutal. I think it's probably one of the more brutal ones.
It is pretty brutal. It has like, well, there's like,
I think it's great, but I think it's kind of the most brutal.
It's the hardest one. Like for a long time, I didn't believe Enneagram because like, I feel like I had like personal denial that like got in the way of like seeing like my results as correct.
Totally. So like, that's real. But what I want to say, and I'm giving that perspective on these other ones in the middle of this, just to say that generally reading numerology, I feel like it's pretty flowery. Like, I feel like across the board, it's pretty positive.
Got it. Okay.
Compared to like some other typing systems from the limited shit that I read, not to say that there weren't like, you know, challenges or obstacles listed or things that you could intuitively take, like number one being like alone.
Yeah.
And they're like, leaders might feel like this. And so you're like, these are these really positive, like self-determination, self-sufficiency. Mm-hmm. But you could easily see how like maybe that could be flipped onto like being a loner in like a negative sense or like pushing other people away. So
totally.
I don't know. Do with that what you will. But I don't want to derail us too hard in this list because we've got 7, 8, and 9 left. So 7 is introspection, which is the essence, is focused on knowing itself and the world it exists in. Study is an aspect of the essence, as is wisdom. Answers generally come from within. The essence is spiritual and intuitive. There is a quest for perfection.
Hmm.
Okay. 8, which is your life path number, is building. And I saw this called things like across the board, but building like always comes up. The essence is about building great works that benefit people for a long time. Mm. It's also about operating businesses and accumulating material resources. The essence is efficient and balanced.
Mm. That is and positive. Then
9. Yeah, it's like they're, don't they all like when, like when I read mine, I like almost feel like a douche being like, this is my life path. I'm a nurturer. Like they're all pretty flowery what I'm reading you right now. And then 9 is humanitarian. The welfare of humanity is the focus of this essence. It is tolerant and compassionate and tends to promote philanthropic activities.
Mm.
So general 1 through 9 breakdown there. And yeah, they're all kind of flowery. Not to be a hater. They just are.
Did you find anything where it like talked about potential downfalls or like, I don't know. Totally. There has to be a negative side.
Those are those little breakdowns, and I'll read, like, a little bit more when we dive in just on, like, you and
the specific, yeah.
Yeah, but I wanted to give some alternative names that I thought were interesting that were just thrown out for these numbers.
Yeah.
So I found another list that called, like, 1's, like, the father, 2's, the mother, 3's, I saw, like, talented child, like, the child, like, versions of that.
Well, I thought before when it was 1 was like loneliness alone. Or leadership, 2 was like togetherness, basically
the mom,
and then 3 was creativity. Initially, I thought like, okay, 1 plus 2 is 3. Like what's happening is like a person is alone, then they're together, then they're like making something. But also that's like how we procreate.
Yeah, totally. And yeah, there is some kind of, like, I think it's fair to say there's, like, a little bit of, like, male-female hierarchy in this. Just like there is in a tarot deck. You will see people interpret that differently of, like, you know, like, king, queen, knight, page. Or people want to be, like, the lady, the mother, the father, the, you know, like, you
archetypes you watch are hard the titles. Because they are hard. They can be useful and sometimes important, but mm-hmm. they are still just archetypes.
Yeah, absolutely. So fours, which before I said pragmatic, heard them referred to as the organizer. Mm. Fives, the free spirit. Mm. Sixes, the caregiver, which feels on brand with like the nurturing bit. Sevens, yeah. the philosopher, which we called seven before, like introspection. That makes mm-hmm. a lot of sense. Eights, this is you, building, but they call it in some circles the professional.
Oh. Yeah, right. Which
but you know what? Actually, like, I like want to dive in on this because I'm like, on some ways, I feel like the verbiage here feels like really career oriented in some breakdowns mm-hmm. of eights, but like other things have said, like, yeah, there's an emphasis on like career, business, finances, but like also authority. So like you're spiritual, but you maintain like a practical realism about your spirituality. Mm. You know, the difference between make believe and genuine realizations. Mm-hmm. You're balanced and are a force that creates as easily as it destroys.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And then, like, the focus on eights, too, that can be tough. And we can dig in more on, like, what you think about this. But there's a lot of talk with, like, eights focus on life path being on money. But I know. I also read about how people are like, well, that's not as simple as it seems. Because yeah. you see money as a measurement, not as the end result.
Oh.
And you find yeah. happiness in luxury and believe that career success will lead to a more comfortable life.
Yeah, for sure.
So do with that what you will. A little bit more ish on eights there for you. And then nines, the humanitarian, which is basically exactly what I same. Said they were before.
Yep.
Like the same. Same, but different.
We're
but
not
same,
confused
same.
About nine.
No. And I'm not going to go too hard in the paint on these, but there are two other like big numbers that people recognize. Mm-hmm. As having like super significance, which are 11s and 22s.
Oh, yeah. Are these angel like, numbers?
Some people call them like angel numbers. Some people just get on these being
I don't
like,
feel clear about what angel numbers like, are. I don't think
like
anyone's
a big
clear on
deal
it.
Deal in like of all, like they say 11s are like the most intuitive of all life path numbers, you know.
But how can you have an 11? Aren't you a 2?
You would like, if you got 11, you would like,
you would not
it
reduce
instead
it.
Of adding.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
That's how you get there. And then the 22s are the master builder, which is like people are like, you have potential for extreme success and power.
So, do we know?
But
any
I also
22s?
Didn't feel like every typing system subscribed to 11s and 22s either. Mm. Again, which kind of takes me back to the like, mm-hmm. what is canon?
Well, it's like in astrology, not everybody's on board for like astral projection.
And not everybody's on board for things like cusps existing.
Yeah.
In numerology and astrology and all these things, like some variants.
Yeah. And room for whatever.
Yeah. You know.
What parts of being a six do you, like, did you feel like that was fitting mostly? I mean, it's incredibly, like, this is much simpler than any of the other typing systems we've done as far as, like, how it describes you as a person in each one-off number.
Totally. So.
Because, like, that's not all of you.
No. And it's, like, it's.
And money's anything, not all of me.
Money's not all of you, and nurture and family and harmony is not all of me.
Yeah.
The things that I can get down with are, like, the foundations of six are said to be, like, family and, like, a harmonious home. And I'm like, well, that feels like mm-hmm. me.
Your cancer
and
then
I would
is
say,
showing.
Like,
yeah.
I know it feels very in line with my astrological cancer juju that yeah. I'm like, yeah, I'm, like, a caregiver. I like taking care of people, like my home and like my family and loved ones are like super important. And I'm like, yes, I agree with all these things. I will say that generally I've always kind of like gotten down with, I don't know how numbers can be like kind of mystical and like connections, like My lucky number in life is 27 because mm-hmm. I was born on the 27th, and so is my only sister, like, and sibling. We're both 27, so it's, like, always kind of been our family number. Mm-hmm. And I ascribe a lot of significance in my own life to things that happen on the 27th.
Mm-hmm.
And or like when I was 27, like things that happened that year of my life. Like
I was like baptized on your birthday.
Jamie was baptized on my birthday. Do with that
unknowingly. Yeah.
Oh, we didn't know each other then.
Yeah.
but just like, I know we had that.
That one's really weird.
And we were just like, that's fucking weird. But I have always put a lot of stock into that. And mm-hmm. then I am somebody who like is into tarot. And so I like always am like intrigued. Like if you do a spread of cards or something and you're like, oh my gosh, like I had a bunch of sevens or a bunch of threes come up, or like I had a, like there are so many nines in this spread. And then when I'll do that, like I've always kind of pivoted to like tarot books I use to be like, what does it mean if you have like a bunch of this mm-hmm. number appearing? Mm-hmm. And so because I've kind of always like had vibes about that, I was like, oh, I'm going to be really into numerology.
Yeah.
And I, like, didn't find myself getting into it the way I have gotten into any other system. And while, like, your birthday makes sense of having, like, significance, because I am somebody who, like, gets down with astrology to an extent, mm-hmm. For sure, I am like, okay, yeah, of course, like, your birthday would have, like, numerical meaning. But just the idea that your name does...
That one is hard.
That's hard for me to get down with because...
That's, like, harder than Flat Earth.
Yeah, I agree. Because I'm like, well, what you're saying is that, like, we're going to do this math based on, like, the name, based on, like, the way my mom just, like, and dad or whoever,
right.
You know,
that's what I was saying before. Like, they could even change it on purpose. To alter the number. Like, if they, like, wanted you to be a 6, not a 7.
Yeah, I mean, if you really bought into numerology, you could, like, really make some strong plays for that, for sure. Like, for sure. I just, yeah, so I don't know. That's why I focus definitely more on talking just, like, life path numbers, because that is the thing I can get down with the most mm-hmm. in this whole system.
That one makes the most sense to me.
Yeah. And so... Like, reading about sixes and, like, you know, being, like, people through, like, you know, through, like, the family stuff down. But then there's, like, also stuff that's, like, just, like, protection of family members and self-sacrifice. And I'm, like, I don't know. Maybe it's because, like, of where I am in my life stage. But I'm, like, that seems generous. I was, like, I don't know. I don't know that I'm, you know, doing a lot of that stuff.
Yeah.
That's funny. You know, I don't know. And again, like most of the stuff I feel like I read on like numerology and breaking down the numbers
mm-hmm.
feels super flowery.
Yeah.
Not all of it is, but like.
Yeah. I know what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean.
Because everything has light and dark. So when we're not representing both sides, it feels like it's BS.
Yeah.
Is kind of how I feel about it. I'm like, well, you didn't really, like, you just wanted to make this up, not like you figured this out. Yeah.
Yeah. It's that, it's like when we talked about love languages, how, you know, we felt like generally a lot of people would say like gifts was lower, but there also is this, like, there's this taught up thing of like, well, which love language feels more moral? Like,
right.
Which is
so you're
like
biased taking the test. Yeah.
Right. In theory, we should all say quality time because that's probably the,
it's like the right answer.
The right answer. But like, not that there's something wrong with like touch or words or gifts, but if you want to use these in that kind of like,
if you think about
compass,
them as
grading,
as
then, yeah.
excessive or needy in any way, like if you take each love language, like, turn the volume up on it, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
Quality time, like, yes, can be smothering, but it doesn't, like, still doesn't really get a bad reputation like the others do.
No. Whereas, like, words could be, like, ego stroking, touch could be, like, hypersexual, gifts could be greed.
Right.
Quality
time is just... truly smothering.
Quality
but.
Time is just like, oh, you just wanted to spend time with me? What a dick. I don't know. So,
but
do
this
you want
doesn't
me to
have
you?
That. I do want you to read me something.
This doesn't have that at all. So do you want to hear a little bit more about 8, or do you feel like you have some feelings about just being labeled as an 8 innately?
Yeah, sorry, I had to take it.
No, it's low-hanging fruit, but here we all are.
From what I know about it, from when, like, you and I dug in on this shit just, like, a little bit one night, and yeah. I remember feeling, like, really shocked that I was an 8. Like, it really didn't land. But mm-hmm. then the more I thought about it and the more I thought about kind of, like, what was, like, at the core of it rather than just maybe, like, getting tied up in the specific language of what each website was saying is like, 8s are, like, hustlers. Like, we enjoy, like, using, like, the resources that we have in, like, the most efficient way. And, like, that resonates with me, like, as far
totally
as, like...
Totally, that resonates for you with me, yeah.
Yeah, I do feel like even when I was a little kid, yes, I'm, like, a creative person, but there's this, like, like, greed isn't the right word, but there's, like, this element to it that's, like, very entrepreneurial. Like, I'm always trying.
You're very ambitious, like, but, like, not necessarily in, like, a climb the ladder of any kind of particular thing.
I'm, like, I'm going to do my own thing in the corner and, like, just turn a profit on it.
Yeah, and like, but you're really self-motivated.
Yeah, yeah, usually.
I think you're more motivated by yourself, like, in terms of, like, hard aspirations than other people. Like, that's fair.
I hope that that's true because I am not very motivated by, like, job things. So hopefully, yeah.
But it's not even career. Like, I think, like I wouldn't say that I'm somebody who, like, career, like, trajectory, it's something I always want to do well at, but it's not higher on my, like, life priority lists, mm-hmm. like, at all. Mm-hmm. But I think I'm really motivated by, like, how I fit into other people's lives sometimes, to a fault maybe even, than I, like, how I fit into my own.
Yeah.
And I feel like you are always more concerned with how you fit into your own.
Definitely. Yeah. And that can actually become problematic. I've found recently that, like, I don't know why I've never thought about this, but for the first time I've, like, really thought about what it would be like to, like, integrate another person into my life. And mm-hmm. it's kind of be a really fucking specific person, I feel like. I don't know. I'm just, like...
I feel like that's true. Like...
To some degree, I guess it's true of everyone. But I just don't, like... I, like, don't change and adapt that hard to other people.
I think that I change and adapt too hard to other people. I get lost sometimes.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a happy medium. Both can be frustrating. Yeah,
medium rare.
Medium raw.
Medium raw. When are we getting them? I tell you what.
But get it, you want buttons thing. That say medium raw. Speaking of, we had a button business because I was a fucking 8.
Yeah, because Jamie's an 8 and we always had, like, some sort of entrepreneurial hustle and we did sell buttons at one point in time. It was great.
Yep.
Here's the other thing I want to call out, though, about the life path number, because I just want to, like, harken back to this. Mm-hmm. It's, like, the opportunities and challenges faced on your life path. It's the outline of, like, a blueprint for how your life should play out.
Mm.
So then also with that, it makes me want to be like, oh, this isn't my personality number. Mm-hmm. But where this gets, like, hard is then I'm like, well, that shit comes from my name, and I don't know if I believe in that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, maybe then what you take from numerology, at least for right now, is you say, okay, I kind of subscribe to my life path number. And this is, I'm not speaking for you. I feel like this is where I'm at. Like, because I also don't, like, buy into, like, the naming stuff. Mm-hmm. And I also wonder about babies who are induced, but that's a whole other thing. So.
Still when you entered the world, though, you know.
True. It is still when you entered the world. Because I don't subscribe to the ones that have letters, you're right, that takes away most of them. So we have birthday number and life path number left. So, like, I don't know. I kind of feel like, okay, maybe I just take those two things, or maybe even just life path number from astrology and maybe, or from numerology.
From
sorry.
Numerology.
That's tough.
I know. I've called it astrology.
It's been hard.
Everyone, if we missed one of those, apologies.
I think we caught them all, but if we didn't.
I think we did, but blessing. We might not have.
So I would just take those things from numerology and like adopt them into like my sort of like tepid semi belief system. And then maybe for personality things, I would look at sometimes astrology, but like Enneagram, Myers-Briggs, shit like that, where like the blueprint inside me makes a little more sense based on like actual questions that I answered, not just like numbers from the sky.
We've said before, like, you get down more with, you know, Myers-Briggs and Enneagram and that kind of thing than you would for astrology. And I generally think I do too, but I'm more into astrology than you are.
Yeah, I really do like it, though.
Astrology is fucking great. Yeah. Listen, people.
So I guess I just feel like I have no problem, like, tearing this philosophy apart and keeping a little piece of it that then I look at in tandem maybe with astrology sometimes. And real. I say, like, okay, personality stuff, we got to look at that in a different system because it doesn't work here.
Yeah. Well, here's a question for you. Mm-hmm. When I read through all of the other numbers, did you feel like there were other ones that you were like, I actually feel like I identify more with this thing?
Honestly, not really. So, like, three maybe, but I...
The creative?
Yeah, mm-hmm. But I do feel like as we work our way through what we keep talking about, like, astrology, Myers-Briggs, Enneagram, that shit, like... Yeah. Yes, I am, like, a creative person, like, and I have, like, performative qualities, but those are, like, not really my, like, core drives. Like, those are just, like tertiary skills or something. So, like...
It's, like, how you express yourself, but it's not why you're expressing yourself.
Exactly. That's exactly it. So, it's, like...
Totally. That's cool.
Yeah. So, I feel like I would be tempted to say maybe I'm a three because like creativity is like at the forefront of like what drives me, but not necessarily. It's a part of it, but I feel like it's not like all the way at the bottom of my stack, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like it's a more surface part of myself.
Totally. I think if I read through these and was like gonna pick, you know, me to be something other than six, I would also be tempted by the creative bit again, because like, I think I can be like a pretty performative person. And then, like I said, the stuff about social interaction being creative really plucked at my heartstrings and felt like a part of who I am.
And yeah. And that feels to me very much, we haven't done it yet, so I apologize, but it feels like Enneagram. But it also feels like you're Myers-Briggs, and that's why I don't think it's me, but I could see you being a three. Because a lot of times that creative energy is with sociability. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. No, and I could see that and I feel tempted by that. But I also don't know that, like, creativity is something that drives me. I think it's just how I express myself. Mm-hmm. Like, kind of like how you were saying. Like, it's, like, a big part of it, particularly socially. Mm-hmm. But, like, the one I think if I were actually going to have to pick another one for myself would be a two.
Yeah.
Which was, like...
That makes sense.
Together or like the like maternal juju, but it was like about it was about partnership and companionship and like feeling of belonging and caring and like teamwork, romance, whatever. Mm-hmm. Now that I think is like at the core of like stuff that drives me.
Yeah. I maybe could be a five. I don't know.
Freedom.
Yeah.
That I feel like
that's probably
like that feels very on brand.
Well, and that's how my Enneagram shakes out every fucking time.
Yeah. So, like, I don't know. I guess, like, my feelings on numerology that, like, and I probably sound like a broken record, but I said the same thing about love languages of, like, take it or leave it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to fucking take it because I think we just had really interesting conversation about what drives us and what doesn't drive us and what's important to us and what's not.
Even if how we got there is bullshit. I'm going to go against Miley and say that it is not the climb. But, like, also it was because we learned from the climb. Fuck, so she's still right.
Yeah, no, Miley's still
right. She was right. My bad.
It's the climb. Like, you were trying to be like, fuck Miley. And then you're like, wait, actually, no.
Yep, I'm wrong.
She's nailed it. Miley nails it every time.
It's because Dolly taught her right.
Truly, truly. This is not a Miley Cyrus fan club podcast, but...
She cool.
It could be a Miley Cyrus fan club podcast casually.
I do like her. I know
we,
you do, you know, too.
If we are going to make that pivot, I would be open to it. From maybe a special. Just like, you know, we'll look into it. Because Party in the USA or something. Mm-hmm. All of that said, I'm here for numerology, for the conversation. It facilitates.
Definitely.
I don't subscribe to the name stuff. I just like...
It feels like a weird elementary school project or something. I don't know.
Yeah, like make your name into a poem.
Yeah. Fucking acrostics. You know, get out of here.
Well, this is the part that, like, it's funny, though, the name bit. And it makes me feel like a little bit of a hypocrite and also confused at the same time. So hear me out. When we talk astrology, which I get down with, I'm like, oh, it's just like... all it's like the part of your life that just like is happenstance and is like fate and divine timing. And that I'm like, okay, that's like the birthday part, like your life path here. And I'm like totally subscribed to that. I'm like, yeah, I believe in divine timing and like fate and things manifesting that way. Not everybody does, but I do.
You do.
And then on the flip side, where I like will say also though, I harder identify or feel like more proud, maybe even of like stuff like my Myers-Briggs type, is I'm like, well, it's not just what happened to me. It's like the choices I made and like, you know, some of my personality and like the way I am, like I like nature, nurture, like some of this shit is probably hardwired. But then I'm like, yeah, but like this feels like who I am in some way that's like controlled. And so the part that feels a little goofy is the name part. Is like this hybrid of happenstance and control. And that's why I have a hard time wrapping my head around it, because it doesn't feel like one or the other.
Yeah. And I don't feel sold that they're like that this simple of a system could really account for the cosmic variables and forces of like the time that you're born, the familial pressures that are being placed upon you and in like your name and like the hopes for you. Like, this is not the algorithm to find that is how I feel. I think there is an algorithm, but it would be so complicated to make that a machine would have to do it.
Real. Yeah. But do I believe in the magic of numbers outside of this
system? 100%. We just don't understand it.
We don't understand it, but fuck yeah. Like, absolutely.
It's, numerology, I feel like my biggest problem with it is how simple it is. Like, it just... I don't know, like, it just seems like really not, like, clear or expansive. And I could be wrong because I haven't done a lot of my own research, but you did express also at the beginning of this episode that there was a lot of contradictory information.
Yeah. I didn't feel like it was, like, clear-cut and easy and...
like there was a true expert.
And I felt like, and like that a lot of, like, the language was flowery or vague. But if we also rewind to the beginning where I was just like... listen, numerology at its core, like, aside from this, like, astrologically adjacent, like, numerical juju, like, this specific system, is everything else that's, like, assigning specifics to numbers. And if we want to harken back to, like, ghosts and shit, like, you know, some people believe, like, certain numbers that if you assign significance to it, like, it could be, like, spiritual. Like,
or, like, 3 a.m.? Like, there's, like, a lot of ghost activity or, like, demonic activity at 3 a.m. or at 3:33 specifically. Yeah.
Yeah. That is wrapped up in numerology because we're assigning events or, like, coincidences or some kind of meaning to, like, a time of day.
Do you ever think about that 7:06 is 666?
Ew, no, but that makes me uncomfortable now. And I did think about numerology and just, like, if we're assigning, like, 6, like, my life path number is, like, super nurturey. I was like, why is 666 the devil number? But that's numerology, too, that there's a number assigned to, like, something, like, of any kind.
Yeah.
So, do with that what you will. Numbers are magical. I believe in them.
Maybe someday we can do, like, Kabbalah numbers or something and compare the systems.
Totally. And I will say when, like, numbers appear in, like, tarot spreads and kind of how that system works through, like, numeric significance, I totally get behind it. I'm, like, totally fucking there for it.
Interesting. Okay. Huh. Yeah, this one. Vague and not super here for, but I do appreciate it conceptually.
I appreciate it conceptually, and I appreciate, like, the vibes we talked about because of it. Or maybe in spite of it. Again, it's the climb.
Yeah, yeah. That's what our fucking podcast is.
Our podcast is actually The Climb.
Yeah.
The whole thing of this, listen, I don't want to say that we created this in Miley Cyrus's image, but this entire podcast is The Climb.
Oh my God.
It's The Climb.
She's our mascot. Lessons. Yep.
Miley Cyrus, huh. Mascot.
Okay, so I know this is your topic, but I'm going to give you kind of an off-the-wall Mary fuck kill on it.
Oh, yes. Here for it.
So while this does not really mean anything about numerology, these are all people who deal with numbers quite a bit.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah. So you have to marry, fuck, or kill.
Okay.
A person who is a really intense full-time, so like instead of their job, they do this.
Okay.
A 9/11 conspiracy theorist. This person
this does deal with numbers.
Mm-hmm. In like a numbers way. Like they're like aggressively talking about like the Pentagon and like the coordinates and you know what I mean? And yeah, how like you can measure it back to like Babylon, all this. So.
Okay. Wow.
That person. Or
that's heavy.
Bob Barker.
Oh, he does deal with a lot of numbers.
Yeah.
The Price is Right, people. Come on.
Or the Count from Sesame Street.
God, I love these voices. Oh my God, so good. Fuck. I think I would have to kill like the 9/11.
I knew truther. You would.
I just think it would be like
it's a lot of energy
for me.
It's a tough energy to manage.
This is their full life. I'm like, I couldn't even fuck it. You'd be like having sex, and they would be like, just like, I can't. I just don't think I could. I just think it'd be too much. It's just like whether or not, and there are people who have like, I think, arguments for like money and oil being tied up in that and stuff that like doesn't seem nutsy cuckoo to me. I don't know. But like.
I have opinions, on that I don't think are insane, but.
There are conspiracy things about 9/11 that, like, don't seem totally wild to me, but also, like, I generally, like, don't think that, I don't know, that it's more than it was, like, at face value.
Also, that kind of stuff is not something that you, like, devote mental energy to. So, like, for you to be with that person would be insane.
Like, all the, I couldn't. I don't even think, I couldn't do it for even a lie, man.
All that
like,
quick talking.
You could.
I 100% could, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I can't be around that. It's too much for me.
40 hours a week is too much. That,
For sure.
It would take a minute to figure that out, though. Okay,
yeah.
This is your time to choose.
It would take me 30 seconds. I'd be like, and I'm out.
I'd be like, two years deep. Like, something feels like a little off.
Okay, so I'm killing 9/11 truther. I think I'm going to have sex with the Count. Like,
okay, yeah. We did just talk about how vampires are weirdly sexual in a way that you don't like.
Yeah, but he's like the Count. Like, he's like different.
Okay.
I don't know. And something about like the Count's vibe is kind of cool. I like.
Yeah.
I don't want to marry him, but like I'd fuck the Count.
Okay.
And I hope that we could like work some kind of count into things that would be memorable. Anyway.
There would be counting.
Yeah, there would be counting. And
he like couldn't Barker, get off without counting, please.
There'd probably be a lot of counting.
Yeah, sorry, go on.
And then Bob Barker. Well, I just feel like there's like a really big age gap. I feel like, I'm marrying him. There's a really big age gap. I feel like I would have like a second life, but like maybe some money from this. Mm-hmm.
Is he alive
I would live
still?
On nicely. I don't. Think so? But
I don't
I
think
I'm
so
not
either.
Killing him.
But I'm gonna say regardless, like you would have married him in maybe 2005.
I also get the sense just because of all the hot girls on The Price is Right that Bob Barker might have been like a little bit of like a creepy old man player, and like
I
feel
that
like
that is validated.
Yeah, and I think that for better or for worse, like I wouldn't have had to worry about like independently entertaining him. I think he was. Living his best life alone.
Mm-hmm.
So, do you, Bob? So yeah, that's my roundup.
Okay. Yeah.
Can I give you a Mary fuck kill?
Yes.
Okay. Because we have to bring it around to the true spirit of this podcast. Mm-hmm. Now that we have released The Ultimate Conspiracy, which is what this podcast is really about. I'm giving you three different versions of the same person.
Hell yeah.
And you need to choose, like, your marry, fuck, or kill with the assumption of them perpetually being, like, in this one, like, time.
Which Miley am I keeping?
I mean, so your first choice is Hannah Montana. Okay. Just, like, straight up Hannah. Mm-hmm. Yes. Spoiler alert, this is actually a Miley Cyrus fan club podcast. Truth's out. Get ready for only
We've been
Miley
sending subconscious waves the whole time.
Yeah, if you play it backwards, you can hear a lot of her greatest hits if you just listen to the podcast backwards. I mean, you're going to have to get this on vinyl and get a turntable to do it, but, like, it's there. That said, Hannah Montana.
Mm-hmm.
Miley, like, Robin Thicke, like, okay. Mike Will Made It era, yeah, yeah, of just, like, sexual awakening, uh-huh, wearing, like, nude latex and, like, yep, humping a foam finger. Or present day return to, like, Dolly-esque country vibes. Like, I feel younger now, Miley.
So I definitely marry feel younger now.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
I love, I mean, any of them would be friends with Dolly. Like, you'd have contact with Dolly no matter what. So
yes, which is that's goals. Fine.
But, like, mm-hmm, the current Miley is, like, the most level-headed, manageable. It's like a Goldilocks situation, like, just right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. True. Because, like, she's still crazy, I'm sure. Like, in sometimes a fun way, maybe sometimes not. But
I think she's great. I mostly feel
like I would like her.
Yeah.
And then
I would hang. 10 out of 10 would hang.
I don't, like, really want to fuck Robin Thicke Miley because, like, there's something about when, like, sexuality becomes, like, gauche that's, like, a huge turnoff.
Okay.
So, like, all, like, while artistically I liked a lot of that stuff and I thought that it was, like, of course, like, obnoxious and attention grabbing, but also, like, aesthetically well done. And so, like, mm-hmm, I did enjoy that, but from, like, a personal standpoint, I'm like, I feel
you're
like
gonna fuck Party in the USA.
I feel like that'll, like, freak me out. But I feel like Party in the USA is, like, too young, and so I, like, can't do it.
Well, let's just say that, like, you're of the same age or something.
I guess.
Or, like, she's of age. I don't know. I don't want any of it to feel incestuous. Or
No. And I'm assuming...
That's not what I meant.
It's not what you meant.
I didn't mean incestuous.
You meant pedophilic.
I don't
it's okay.
I want any of it to feel pedophilic.
So I was assuming that she was, like, 20 in Party in the USA times. But that just, like, yeah, that version of her feels so young to me that I'm just like,
yeah,
nah.
It is young.
Yeah. So marry the current one. Have, like, an awkward fuck with Robin Thicke Miley, and then I have to kill Party in the USA.
All right. I respect it.
Not what you would do?
No, I would fuck the Robin Thicke version, but not reluctantly.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And, yeah, definitely, like, listen, I feel so much younger now.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
That's a good song.
Well... it's a fucking great song. But listen, it's all about the climb. And if you have feelings on Miley Cyrus's greatest singles, now that you know what this podcast is actually about,
mm-hmm,
you're welcome. Or if you have feelings on numerology and think it's all trash or are more into it than we are or know something that we don't, because listen,
yeah,
I'll tell you,
if there's,
it's
like, a missing link.
Loosey-goosey. not my own personal research.
I don't think
that
there is. Yeah.
But the stuff that I read felt loosey-goosey.
Exactly.
So.
Would we maybe call this an angel fire situation?
I think there are angel fire websites out there probably that still exist that are about numerology. Yes,
well, 100%. Yeah.
Absolutely. Listen, if you have an angel fire resource to send us, get at us this week, like any week, on the internet, via Instagram @whyareyoulikethispod, or via email, at wirelikethispod@gmail.com. And if you feel so inclined, rate and review, drop us some digits, and we'll love you forever.
Love you forever. Yes. Bye.
Bye.